Welcome to worship, everyone. So glad that you're here this morning. Today's a communion Sunday. We're going to be participating in communion today by coming forward to receive the elements. We are also in a series on the fruit of the Spirit, but this is the last one. Today we're going to be talking about humility, and most important, the humility of Christ. So as you worship this morning and you think about God's humility, about coming way down to us so that we don't have to try to get up to Him, which is impossible anyway, would you just recognize that God wants us to love Him and to thank Him for that huge reach down to earth that He made for you and me? So let's worship together with our heart and with our mind and with our soul. Let's give the Lord all that we have this morning in thanksgiving and gratitude to Him.
In reading from God's Word, we'll read the words that are printed on the screen. Read with me. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Should I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?
To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Josh Pasquinelli. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm here to share about the mission trip I will be going on this coming week. So I'm headed to Malawi with my school, the King's Academy. We'll be leaving this Thursday, April 6th. We'll be gone for 2 weeks, so we'll be arriving back on the 20th. It takes about 2 days to get there, so we leave on the 6th and get back, or we get in country on the 8th. So for those of you who don't know, Malawi is in the southeastern part of Africa, so we take 3 flights to get there, from SFO to JFK to Johannesburg in South Africa, and then up to Malawi. The travel's a little bit of a struggle because the only way to get into Malawi, there's a flight every Wednesday and every Saturday, so we had to plan that correctly so that we could actually get there. So it's a small group of us going, 23 in total, including all the leaders, 19 students between the years of sophomore to senior year, 16 girls and 3 boys, and then 3 female leaders and 1 male leader. And the reason that they had to decide that number for the trip is because when we actually get to the country to get to where we're staying, we have to take a bus, and that is the maximum amount of people they could fit in the bus. So they figured that out. So while we're in country, during the weekdays, we'll be going to a school there in Malawi where they help the students with their education, with their care, their food. So we help them. We'll be splitting, our team will be splitting up into 2 groups. For the mornings, we'll be teaching, one group will be teaching reading and math to the kids, just a little bit of another point of view from people who aren't from their country. And then the second half of us will be bringing MacBooks to deliver to them, for them to keep. We'll be teaching some of the older students and the teachers there how to use them, so then hopefully they can use them in the classrooms and the older students can take the MacBooks into like a university or something if they make it. That's the goal, to get them that far, give them that large opportunity to make it. And then in the afternoons, we'll just be playing games with the kids and like being the hands and feet of God, just showing them love. Some of the kids are orphans, so they don't really have anyone to go home to at the end of the day, whereas others may not have just great home lives and their family may not give them what we can. So just there to help them with that. The first day we get there, so we get there, and then the next day we go straight to a hospital. The medical standards are not as nearly as close to what we have here, so we'll be going just to pray for people there, be with the sick, and just see what we can do while we're there. It's not going to be much, but God's calling us there, so we're going to do our best. So I guess my main thing here is just to ask for your prayers. It's a little scary, a little exciting, but yeah, it's a lot of it in God's hands, and we're going to need all the prayers that we can get. So just pray for travel, safety in country. Just pray that we can spread God's word, be his hands and feet. Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you, Josh. We'll be praying for you. And greetings to all. Once again, welcome to worship. We're so happy that you're here today.
Oh, dear God, we do need you. We are nothing without you. And we need you in so many ways. And as Paul tells Timothy in his letter, that it is right that we give all prayers, petitions, and intercessions to our God. So please join me this morning as we offer our needs, our desires, and our thanksgivings to God. Dear Jesus, we pray for this church. We pray for its leadership. May they have eyes to see, ears to hear, and feet to lead us in the direction that you have in mind for West Valley. We pray for our government leaders. Give them wisdom and direction that they may follow your will and may things may go according to your word. And Lord, too, our heart goes out for those who are suffering in disasters, and like the mudslide in southern Colombia killed 200 people, or the collision with a church bus in Texas this week, which killed 13. Walk with their survivors, with their loved ones, with their pain and their loss. We ask that you give them comfort and peace. And so too, Lord, we pray for members of this congregation who suffer from physical, emotional, relational, or psychological pain. Bring them peace as only you can. Bring them healing. And for their caregivers of those who are ill, give them strength, give them endurance that they might finish the race. We pray for those with challenges in their employment, whether it's to find a job or issues with their current job. Send the Holy Spirit to them, Lord, and guide them. Let them know what they should do to not only deal with the situation, but how they can be witnesses to you in this valley. Lord, there are many requests we have. For those unnamed requests, we pause at this moment so they may be silent added to what we've said already. Lord, hear our prayer. And lastly, Lord, we want to thank you for all the great blessings that you shower upon us each day. And this day is a good day because it's a day with you. And we thank you for it, for all these good things come from you, Lord. And as I said, Lord, we certainly need you. And now we acknowledge who you are, and as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught your disciples to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. In this section, we will learn about the humility of Christ and how we are able to imitate this in our own lives. Hear the word of God. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends the reading from God's holy word.
Thank you, Kiara. That was so well read. Today, as I shared with you at the beginning of the service, we're talking about humility. Humility is a big deal for Christians, and sometimes this is supposed to happen this year, just in case you wondered. Yeah, there we go. Got it. Beautiful. Be using this in a minute. Humility is a big deal for Christians. And sometimes it can get a little dicey because we can think so much about humility and become proud about how humble we are. You know, you ever get into that space? Somebody once said, if I only had a little bit of humility, I'd be perfect. But no word describes Jesus better than the word humility. Augustine said that for those who want to learn God's ways, humility is the first thing, humility is the second thing, humility is the third thing. C.S. Lewis describes humility not as having a low opinion of one's talents and character, but rather humility is that is self-forgetfulness for the purpose of being able to live in the world in a way that allows you to give love sacrificially. Generally speaking, however, people don't pursue humility. They don't work toward the goal of being last, right? They work for the goal of being first, number one. People don't like going down ladders. People climb up ladders. Going up a ladder means pursuing pleasure, knowledge, success, victory, status, recognition, and power. That's what the world says is most important. And you know with me that companies spend millions of dollars coming up with logos for themselves that represent that, right? That represent pleasure, knowledge, and success. Things we desire, our society said you should desire these things at the top of the ladder. And they do that so you'll buy the product because then you'll be a little closer to the top. If you take the Nike swoosh emblem, for instance, it means success. And the word Nike is actually a Greek word meaning victory. It's taken from the winged goddess of victory. And if you can think about the logo for Apple Computer right here in Silicon Valley, that apple is a representation of knowledge and of information. McDonald's Golden Arch is supposed to be all about pleasure and joy. Wow, I'm going under the Golden Arches. This is awesome. And one more, the Mercedes-Benz logo means dominion. It goes right like that, yeah, it's up there. it came from the three-pointed star to show that motors could have dominion in the earth, the sky, and the water. So that's where that. So dominion, right? So companies spend millions on this stuff to make logos that stand for things that people want at the top of the ladder: knowledge, success, pleasure, victory, status, power. Again, our world says these things are so important. Our world says live to attain these things at the top, at the top. Now let me ask you, what is the most famous logo of all time, bar none, the greatest emblem in the history of the world? Anybody know? The cross, the cross. It's seen on tombstones, T-shirts, dangling off of people's earlobes and necks. It's on greeting cards, on plaques, and on churches. And it's so common, folks. People look at it in our day without thinking about what the meaning of that logo is. Now, let's just be very clear on this, as the following week is Holy Week and it's Jesus' journey to the cross. The cross was a way to kill people. Does everybody understand that? You got that? The cross was a way to kill people. It was developed in Persia by Alexander the Great, and the Romans, they took that and they perfected it, making it an excruciating, humiliating way to die. You couldn't experience more pain than that. The word excruciating actually comes from the Latin word for crucifixion. You can see kind of the how that happened when you look at those two words. Now, why would the early church, which was kind of like what we would call a startup, right? A startup back in the day, a startup, choose a means of execution as their primary logo, as a representation of themselves? It would like be like maybe PG&E choosing an electric chair for their symbol using the byline, "The power is on." Okay, that's the best parallel I could think of there. It's because the God we worship didn't set an example that was about climbing up a ladder. A ladder to get pleasure, knowledge, success, recognition, and power. Jesus did precisely the opposite. He went the other way. He went down the ladder, as far down as you can go. And he did it for you. Kiara read you the scripture from the book of Philippians. Now, Philippians, it's the book of Philippians because this letter was written to the town called Philippi. And Philippi was named after Philip of Macedonia. And Philip of Macedonia was very wealthy. And he created the town of Philippi to be a place where he would put his gold, where he would store his gold. So Philippi, I was in La Jolla recently. I never saw so many, you know, Ferraris and Rolls Royces. So like Philippi was a little bit like La Jolla or Atherton. It was a very rich elite town. And Philippi was full of ladder climbers who had reached the top. And the elite people in Philippi, they were Roman citizens, and Roman culture was vertical. It was hierarchical all over the place. So Philippi was extremely preoccupied with status, recognition, power, and success. And I'm so glad we don't live in a culture like that today. In Rome, there was a social system that was all about climbing up ladders, just like this ladder here. And so up at the very top, you had senators in Rome, and they were about 600 men. They were very wealthy. They held all the power. Then you went to the equestrians, and they would own horses. That's where I would have been if I had, those of you that know me know I love horses. They owned horses, and they were sort of like knights. And the decurions, they were just high-status folks. And then you went to the citizens. They weren't quite as high, but they could vote and own their own property. And then you got down to the freedmen, and they were slaves that had found liberty. They were not citizens. They couldn't vote, but they were still free. And at the very bottom, you had the slaves. And the slaves had no rights. Masters could dispose of them. Slaves had to offer obedience. In Philippi, you see honor meant going up the ladder. That's how you got respect. And then even within these classes, I just went over with you, there were ladders, and the goal was to get to the top of the ladder in your particular class. And it was so bad that even when people were buried in Philippi, they had their titles on their tombstones. So even in death, you were ranked. Going down the ladder was to be avoided at all costs. The idea of humbling yourself did not exist. Tim and I were thinking, hey, maybe we'll go see Hamilton, the show that's in San Francisco. And we thought that until we found out how much the tickets were. But online, I think the cheapest ticket is $950, at least the side I was on. And then that's a really bad seat. And then if you want a good seat, it's $3,000. And we soon found out we couldn't afford one in the back row behind the pillar. But back in Philippi, in Bible times, you weren't seated according to what you paid for your seat. Guess how you were seated? According to rank. When people went to a feast, they were seated according to their status. If you were on the right, you were the highest. If you were on the left of the host, if you were on the right of the host, you had the highest status. You were on the left side of the host, you were second, and on and on. And actually, if you went into a theater or a venue like we have Hamilton, if you went into the Coliseum, there were sections marked with the name of your status on it, and you had to sit in that section. And clothes reinforced it too. You could tell where someone was on the ladder by what they wore. So one historian wrote that Rome was the most status-conscious society in the Mediterranean. The most status-conscious society in the Mediterranean. Can you imagine? So here comes Paul, writing this letter to the Philippians, the people that lived in Philippi. And guess what Paul knows? Paul knows that most of the early church, that startup at the time, was made up of the people at the bottom of the ladder. The early church was made up of the people at the bottom of the ladder, the people no one cared about. So Paul thinks, how can I describe to these people down at the bottom, on the first rung, that God loves them? How am I going to do that? Because in this status-conscious place where your worth was dependent on what rung you were on, it was so hard to get across to the people on the lowest rung that they had value and worth, that they were still God's children, and it didn't matter what rung of the ladder they were on. This was a huge challenge. Now, I'm going to read to you the Philippians passage again, which Kiara read so well to us. I'm going to explain to you this downward mobility that Paul talks about. I'm going to explain it to you by using this ladder. Now, the problem with using things like this is people will say, you know, after a sermon like this, they'll say, well, Pastor Kim did this really weird thing. She climbed up and down a ladder. So I don't want you to leave with that. I want you to get the point. Okay, so I am going to go up and down this ladder. And Bob is holding the ladder. And I used to figure skate, so I have good balance, so don't worry. So, and I wanted to go all the way to the top, but they wouldn't let me. So, all right. So I'm going to read from here. Can I go one more? Yeah. So, do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. This was in it contrasted completely with the Roman culture. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Really? Never heard that before in Roman culture. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God. Now, I can't get up here. I'm as high as they'll let me go. I'm not even supposed to be on this level. But imagine, you can't get any higher than God, right? You can't get any higher than God. So Christ Jesus did not count equality with God something to be grasped. He's at the top of the ladder. Goes back to that self-forgetfulness that C.S. Lewis talked about, out of love for one another, but made himself nothing. So I'm going to go all the way back down to the bottom. Made himself nothing. This is Jesus coming way down and took on the form or the nature of a servant. Remember, servant or slave, you could use those words interchangeably, was the lowest of the low in Roman culture. I'm going to go back up now. All right. Being made, so he's up here, Jesus is up here, being made in human likeness, boom, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Obedient, that's slave language, right? Obedient to death, slave language. Even death on a what? On a cross. Even death on a cross. You can't get any lower than that. All right? That's what Paul is trying to tell these people in Philippi, in the Philippian church, that they, on the lowest rung of the ladder, Christ came to them. That low. That low. All right. Survive that. So, Jesus starts way up there. You can't go, thank you so much, Bob. If I had knew you were there, and that was good. Starts way up here. Goes way to the bottom. The very nature of God. And he goes lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. No one humbled themselves in Philippi like that. No one did that. Obedient to death, slave language. Even death on a cross. Because death on a cross was reserved for slaves. Citizens didn't die on a cross. Just slaves did. And as I said, they made it as excruciating and shameful as possible. As low as the lowest person who had ever gone, Jesus went for you and me. Jesus did that. And now there's a happy ending, and let's read it together. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, in Roman culture, if you had a benefactor, let's say Caesar was your benefactor, Caesar could lift you up, even if you were on the lowest rung. But this Jesus' benefactor was God, and you can't get any higher than God. So God lifts Jesus up from the lowest rung to the highest, to the highest. And every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord now. Jesus is Lord and not a CEO and not President of the United States and not a rock star or a movie star, not Caesar. Jesus is now alone Lord. Jesus alone reveals to us who God is. And we find that as we look at Jesus in this tremendous act of downward mobility, that it is the nature of our God to serve and sacrifice himself for us. And he's still doing it today. And that, like it or not, folks, as Christians, we are called to be like Jesus. We are called to follow that example of downward mobility. Paul writes to Philippi and says, come on, give up on spending your life exalting yourself. And interesting how Paul refers to himself in the book of Philippians at the beginning. Often he'll say, Paul, an apostle of Christ, but in the book of Philippians, this is how he writes it, Paul and Timothy, servants and slaves of Christ Jesus. He's identifying, you see, fully with the nature and purpose of Christ. Later he says that you and I, all of us, are citizens of heaven, playing off the idea that we're not citizens of Rome. You understand? And that we go a different way. Rome climbs up the ladder. Citizens of Rome climb up a ladder. Citizens of heaven climb down and follow Christ. Now, I'm sure today that wherever you work or go to school or train. There are many ladders to climb. And we even climb ladders in church, you know, and decide in subtle ways who's in and who's out, who's better Christian. And every other religion except for Christianity says that we have to climb up a ladder to get to God by being better people, by being good people. Christianity is the only one that says it's actually the opposite. We can't even approximate God's goodness with our own righteousness, with our own goodness. So Christianity says God came down the ladder to us, to save us out of love. Well, if you use what you've got, we've got a lot of gifts here now. If you use what you've got to ladder climb for your own gain, it won't work out in the end. You'll become obsessed and preoccupied. You'll be a citizen of this world. Citizens, as I said, of heaven do the opposite. They go down, down, down the ladder until they find someone who is suffering, like Josh Pasquinelli, who's going on a mission. And they lift their burdens in Jesus' name. And when we do this, our own hearts are lifted up. And that's what being a Christian is all about. That's why our logo, our symbol, our focus is not on pleasure, power, or success, or what good people we are. Our symbol, our focus is the cross, the excruciating cross way down at the base of this ladder. And it reminds us that we follow a God who will go all the way down to save us, a God who is not afraid to be hurt for our sake, not afraid to be vulnerable because love always is, not afraid to take on our burdens for us, our sins and our darkness, and a humble God who says to us, citizens of heaven, not of this world, of heaven, you are not of this world, servants, slaves of the Most High God, go and do likewise. So as we celebrate communion today, we take the body and blood of Christ into ourselves. We take his death into ourselves, remembering this, that he did this for us in abject humility. And as we do this, let's all recognize that our salvation has happened because of God's desire to go all the way down the ladder for us, for us. That's the humility of God. And if during communion you just want to say thank you. Thank you, God, for coming all the way down that ladder for me. I love you. I love you. Help me love you more. You came all that way. I invite you to do that. Let's pray and move into communion at this time. Lord God, thank you for who you are. When we say that you are love, sometimes we don't fully grasp what it is that we are saying. But this is what love does. It comes down, down, down to us, for us, is hurt for us, dies an excruciating death for us, and calls us in all of that to have relationship. Lord, thank you. Thank you for who you are, that you want us to have a relationship with you, that our sins are forgiven because of your great love. Lord, we ask that we would fully love you back with all our heart and soul and mind as we partake of communion today. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant, or agreement, in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." So ministering to you in Christ's name, we give you the bread and the cup. Give the Holy Spirit a chance to work in your heart as we partake of these elements together, and allow God's great love to you to sink down, down, down into your heart And may you know what he did for you today in a whole new way. Let's take these elements together in peace and in joy for the God, for who God is and the God we worship, knowing that he is with you as you do this. In peace, have courage, hold on to that which is good, return no person evil for evil, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, honor everyone, love and serve the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.